and then you're back a couple of days later. This is the faithful, committed crew. This is one of those Sundays that's usually one of the least attended of the year. So I'm excited that you're with us. But because of that, you're going to need to bring a little energy. I said because of that, you're going to need to bring a little bit of energy this morning. Wow, we got a loud whistler here today. Welcome. We are excited to have that sort of energy here in this place. This is a pretty exciting couple weeks, I hope, for you. Especially if you're new with us, if you're ever wondering, like, man, I wonder what this church is about. I wonder what their vision is or what their mission is or how they're going to accomplish that. I hope the next 2 weeks go a long way in showing you and declaring to you who we are, or at least who we want to be in Jesus. So if you're new with us, you're going to learn a lot about the church over the next couple of weeks, and I'm pretty excited about that. Every year, it's usually in January, the President of the United States stands before our nation and gives what's called the State of the Union Address, where they kind of report on the condition of the nation, and then also they kind of give their vision for what lies ahead for the coming year or years of how they're going to make the nation even stronger. So these next two Sundays are really kind of the State of the Church address for us here at the Cross. We want to look today especially at what are we about? What are we joined? What are we doing? How's it been going? And then next week we're going to look a lot specifically at 2016 and say, what are we going to do this year? What do we feel like God is calling us to? How are we going to focus so that we can impact the community and change a city in 2016? So those are what we're going to do for the next 2 weeks. So my iPad wasn't charged, so I got my paper here. Feeling a little old school. I actually tried to just swipe up on my paper. It didn't go up. But anyway, hey, it's the post-Christmas, right, thing here. We got music stuff falling off here, but we're good. We're here. You're the faithful ones, and hopefully the Lord has a message for you this morning. So our mission statement here at the Cross is to bring Jesus to everyone by serving the needs of the community and by growing the faith of all who believe. And so we believe that as we are meeting the needs and serving in the community and at the same time growing in our faith as we come together collectively in worship or in Bible studies or L teams and also individually as we're growing in our own faith, we believe that as we're doing those two things, serving the community and meeting needs and growing in our own faith, we believe that eventually, if we continue to do that, more lost people will be found by Jesus, and heaven will be a bigger place. To put it very frankly and very simply, more lost people will be found by Jesus, and heaven will be a bigger place. That is why we exist. We didn't set up church a few years ago just to take a few people from that church over there and a few from that one and a few from the one down the road and a few from the one where their pastor just left. We set up church to grow the kingdom of God exponentially, right? And we want to help non-believers find Jesus. And what we've noticed is there's a niche of people as well that we're reaching here that have been burnt by the church or have kind of gone away from the church and now have kind of had a reawakening to who Jesus is and what the church could look like as they've been coming to the Cross. And so we believe that as more unchurched non-believers and those who've been de-churched and detached from what we're doing, as more and more of those people come together, we believe not just into a church, but especially into a faith in Jesus, we believe that the kingdom of God and our church is going to grow exponentially. So it's time for us today to kind of take an assessment and an inventory and say, how are things going? And are we doing everything, and not just as a church, but as an individual as well, we can take this today. Are you doing everything possible? Everything, are you doing whatever it takes to reach the lost people in our city, our neighborhoods, our schools, our workplaces, and let's not forget our very own homes? Are you doing everything that it takes? Or are there some areas in which we as a church or you as individuals can improve? How can we bring more people into relationship with Jesus? That's what it's ultimately about. So before we look at kind of the state of the Cross, Mount Dora, I want to spend some moments this morning looking at the state of the church at large. And all the research that I read and that I look at and that I hear is that the state of the church at large is, it's not a surprise to you, declining. Not just in numbers and percentages, but in perception and attitude, and especially when it comes to the younger generations coming up. Pew Research, which does a lot of research and statistics, tells us that the amount of people calling themselves Christian in our nation is declining at a rapid rate. So those that were born in the silent generation, which is those of you who are over 70 and above, we got any 70 and above in here? You're silent, aren't you? It's a silent generation, right? That's why you're silent, because you don't want to speak up, right? Those that were born in the silent generation, 70 and above, 85% of those folks classify themselves as Christians. Then anybody, we got any baby boomers in here this morning? Oh yeah, you like to be loud. Don't worry, I'm going to come after you a little bit later, baby boomers. But that's the 50 to 70 year olds in our congregation today. And 78% of that group would classify themselves as Christians. And then the next generation, Generation X, is the 35 to 50 year olds, and 70% of that group would classify themselves as Christians. So you have 85 to 78 to 70% to now the next generation, which is the millennials, which is kind of more the now generation, the 20 to 35 year olds, which is where I fit into that category. Of the millennials, only 56% classify themselves today as Christians. In 35 to 50 years, we've gone from 85% to 56%. That is a major and drastic drop off. And if it continues, it's not going to be a pretty situation for Christianity, for those that follow Jesus, especially living in this country. And I believe that we need to have a heart, especially for the younger generation and the millennials and those younger than that, which I guess they're calling Generation Z now, or MTV voted on the other day and they want to be called the founders. I don't know. But anyway, so we need to be reaching the millennials and the next generation after that. They should be a priority, not simply because they're the next generation or the now generation, but because I believe specifically this generation is trying to learn faithfulness in a rapidly changing post-Christian culture. And I'm in this camp, and I can tell you that it is hard to navigate this world that we live in right now that is constantly changing. It feels like the world and the churches and even ourselves, we're having to reinvent ourselves every 5 years or so. There's pressure and stress. I feel like that maybe some of the older generations didn't quite have, or there's new temptations that have arisen today for us. And millennials need the help of the older faithful believers if they're going to make sense of all of this and move meaningfully forward in our life and in our faith. More must be done to reach that generation. When we did a demographic study a few years ago, right before, it was in 2010, I believe, or maybe 2011, we noticed, of course, that in this community, there are a lot of retired people that live in and around this community. But there was an interesting statistic that really stood out to me in this report, is that there was only one age group that was going to see a significant increase in their population, right? And it was actually the 30 to 34-year-olds. More and more younger families, more and more millennials are moving to our city and commuting into the larger areas for their work. And we have from the beginning wanted to position ourselves to be a church that not only millennials and young families can be excited about, but one also that they would be really pumped about inviting their friends to come and be a part and do life and share together with. Those who are 20 to 35, if we look at the statistics, is the largest mission field out there for us. And if it feels like we're going out of our way to kind of do more to reach that generation at this church, there's a kind of a reason for that. They're the most lost. They're the most lost. If it feels like we focus more on websites and apps and social media and going mobile more than we do in printing bulletins, the reason is because, not because we don't value our older members who are more print-driven, but it's only because we have a limited amount of hours, and especially as a staff, that we can devote to certain things, and we want to do everything that we can to reach a generation that doesn't know Jesus near as much as they ought to, and they're much more prone to go to websites and social media than they would be to read a newspaper or buy a magazine. And if you're older, if you're not a millennial and you've been coming to the cross, like you know there's ample ways for you to get involved here. And there's lots of different teams and things that you can be a part of. And I love to be your pastor and shepherd you no matter what age we have here. And you know that we absolutely love having you here. But if you've never heard me say this, let me say it loud and clear for you today, that there's no way that we can reach the younger generation without you. We need you. We need you. I don't want to create a church that's a one specific age group. I'm interested in reaching a multi-generational, multicultural, multi-economic level church where we can all grow and learn from one another. But we need to take a look at the hard facts and ask ourselves, are we doing, how are we doing? Are we doing everything that it takes? Are we being the solution to help the next generation or not? We have to realize that we need to do church differently today in 2016 than the way it was done in the 60s or the 80s or the 2000s, and quite possibly even than it was done 5 years ago as we started in 2011. The gospel never changes, right? The message never changes, but the way in which the church can bring the message can and should change. And change is almost always difficult. It's rarely ever easy. But we signed on to do church a little more than 4 years ago and said, we're going to do whatever it takes to reach the lost, to reach more people for Jesus. And so if that means that my needs and my wants need to go by the wayside so that somebody else can come and meet Jesus and find Jesus, then I want to give up whatever my wants or needs are. And if that means we collectively as a church need to give up what we want or what we need so that some more people might come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we need to do just that. And you know me, I'll do almost anything and everything that I have to do to reach more people for Jesus, with the exception of sinning. And there's probably even some little sins that I wouldn't mind doing if it meant more people would come to Jesus, right? You know me, I'd stand up here and preach in a robe and we'd sing Shine Jesus Shine if I thought that would bring in the masses. I mean, if you think that's the way to do it, you can tell me that and you can... Good luck trying to convince me that. I mean, but if that's what it's going to take, that's what we're going to do. I'll do almost anything. I won't wear Steelers or Ravens jerseys because we don't want to sin, right, in public. But someone said I picked on the Steelers too much, so I thought I'd throw that in again. But I also put the Ravens in there, so you're welcome. But we need to sacrifice what it is that we want and what it is that we need and say, what is it that the lost people need? What do they need in a church, and how can we be more like that? One of the people that I look to in the Bible when it comes to guidance for doing whatever it takes is the Apostle Paul. I love Paul. I love his intense attitude that I'm not going to stop until I'm done. Right? I'm gonna run my way all the way to the grave. But as I do that, I'm going to be bringing more and more people to know Jesus Christ. He talks about it in 1 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 19. He says this to the Corinthian church. He says, though I am free and belong to no one, I've made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. He says, though I'm free and though I don't belong to anybody, I'm making myself a servant to others. I'm going to lower myself. Even though I don't have to, I'm going to humble myself in front of others so that by all possible means, I might save some. Paul's not saying I'm going to save all, but he's saying I might save some. And listen, we believe that the Holy Spirit works through Paul as he works through us today, that it's not we who do the saving, it is God. But we understand that God has used us as active participants. Participants in this. We're not passive. For whatever reason, God has chosen to use messy, sinful, broken people to share his gospel. And so if he's using us, then we need to do like Paul, whatever it means, whatever it takes. And if we need to lower ourselves or humble ourselves so that someone, even one person, might come to know Jesus Christ, then it's all worth it. I thought I'd get somebody say hallelujah or preach it, brother. The energy that I wanted, it's hopeless. Like those candles we had the last month that wouldn't light. It's gone. He says in verse 20, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. Paul used to be Jewish, so he could understand the Jewish people. He knew the system. He knew what they understood and what they believed. And so he was able to go in to talk to people that didn't necessarily trust Jesus as their Savior. He could have real conversation with them. He was caring. He was friendly. He understood where they came from. And he goes on to say, to those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. And then he says, to the weak, I became the weak to win the weak. You see, Paul's saying all these things, that I can go into different situations and I can be different people. I can adapt and I can change, which is what the church is needing to be doing, is adapting and changing with the times and the culture. The message never changes. Our hero, our God, never changes, but the way in which we deliver that can and should change. And it depends on who we're trying to reach. And Paul's saying, I can go into any four of these situations that I just named, and I can go and I can sit with them. I can be caring. I can be friendly. I can understand where they come from. I can have real deep conversation with them so that when the opportunity comes for me to share Christ with them, I'm ready for that. Some of us who've been in the Christian church, we just like to surround ourselves with a Christian bubble. And that's great and that's nice because Christians, at least they ought to be, are really nice and forgiving and encouraging people. And so why would I want to hang out with somebody who doesn't know Jesus? Well, it's because that person that doesn't know Jesus needs to know Jesus. And we're here in this world to make sure that we've given them at least every opportunity to hear about Jesus and to exemplify and model what Jesus looks like in our lives. Paul's saying, I can reinvent myself. I can do things. In Philippians, he's saying there was one point where he said, I've learned the content of having much, and I've learned to be content in not having much. Paul was rich and he was poor. He could relate to the rich. He could relate to the poor. It was one of the great things about Paul is how accessible he was to many different people in what they believed, and to many different economic statuses and all those things. And he says this, he says, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I become all things, I do all things so that I might save some. Paul's saying, I'm going to cast out this wide net and I'm going to become all things to all men so that I might save some. And he says in verse 23, I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. What I love about Paul is he was always kingdom focused. Everything he did in this world, he did with intentionality and because he believed in heavenly rewards. In just a few verses in 24 to 27, you can read that later, Paul's going to talk about how he ran the race and he competed like he was trying to win a prize so that at the end he would have this crown of righteousness to be with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit forever and ever. There was this motivation for Paul that I'm in this world for one thing and for one thing only, that more people might come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because of how I lived or what I said or what I did. And I know it's not me. I know it's the Holy Spirit in me, but I'm a part of it. And Paul understood this. And what I love about that is he was so focused on heaven. And what we often forget in this world is that we are here for only a fraction of time before we spend an eternity with Christ. I dare say that one of the major dangers that has happened that has not set up the millennials and the Gen Zs or whatever they're called up well is all of this focus from the older generation, specifically the boomers, on work and materialism, on money and possessions. Was amazing. I was looking at statistics this past week as the baby boomer generation controls 70% of our country's disposable income. 70%. Boomers and seniors have a net worth that is three times the amount of younger generations. Right? 80% of all travel is spent by baby boomers. Boomers account for 55% of consumer packaged goods sales. And the one that blew me away is boomers outspend younger adults online 2-to-1 on a per capita basis. It's amazing that all I hear about is that boomers don't have enough money for retirement. Well, it certainly isn't affecting the way they're spending money today. Right? And I feel like my generation gets a bad rap when we look at those statistics and say, well, it used to be 85, and at least the boomers, we were at 78. Now you're at 56. This country used to be a Christian country. We used to have some morals in this country. All this new generation cares about is themselves. Well, let me ask you a question that may hurt a little bit if you're a boomer. Where do you think they learned that from? Where do you think they learned that from? Might it be that when we look back, when you boomers look back at the end of your life, and I'm not speaking to anyone individually here, but as a 30,000 foot view, that's where we're at right now. Might it be that one of the main issues and problems that we will see is that the boomers tried to marry God with money, and their children got to see that? Might it be? If your kids and your grandkids aren't going to church, where do you think they learned that from? You say, oh, but Zach, we were at 78%. We still went to church. Yeah, you went for an hour a week, but the other 167 hours in the week, it was more about building your kingdom in this world. And your kids and your grandkids got to see you more excited about more square footage in your house than a new worship song at church. Or more excited about the new TV that you bought than going out and serving the community and making a difference. And again, I'm not speaking to anyone individually. I've got nobody in mind, but just as a generation, maybe that this is something that has deterred the millennials from coming to the church. One of the other things that happened in the 80s and 90s is because of all this consumerism, the church turned into a consumer model. Where, what can the church do for me? What can I get from the church? And the millennials and the Gen Z and even some of the Gen, we don't want to come to church and be sold something. We want to come and be real and have an authentic experience with the Lord of the universe. And the moment it feels like somebody's selling me something is the moment I and my generation want to back out. What you do matters. It's not too late to make a change if you've been in that camp, if that sunk deep for you, it's not too late for you to change. But what you do matters. Your witness matters, and especially if you have children of your own. Your children are watching you. That's why I was looking at a lot of statistics this week, but if you get divorced and have kids, they're now at least 40% more likely to get divorced themselves. And the one that blew me away is if a parent who is divorced marries somebody else after divorcing, your children are 91% more likely to get divorced. That's why it's such a big deal, right? That it's not just you, you're affecting generations to come. And my generation is not fully off. Like we shouldn't just be blaming, like we shouldn't be blaming each other. We ought to be looking at ourselves. Just because somebody else is going down a wrong path does not make it right for me or anyone in my generation to go down the wrong path. But let me just ask you this, is that if you, and maybe this is too fresh for some of you, but if you feel, if you helped make the mess of the church, will you help clean it up? Will you help clean it up? Because I've already told you today that we need you, and my generation needs you, and it's not too late to make some changes. And we're only one church out of the church at large, but I believe we can make a difference where we are, and we can change this community. I love the intensity at which Paul was writing. I'm going to run the race. I'm going to do all things for all people so that by all possible means, some might be saved. So now that we've looked at the church at large, and I've angered a lot of you out there, how are we doing at the cross? We had a great year this past year. I've got a few things on my favorite list. We opened this worship space in February of this year, and this is a pretty awesome space, right? It's amazing to be in here. And that was a big reason and purpose for us growing so much in worship attendance is, hey, there's good news. There's actually a seat for you. And like there's a whole section of seats right here today that are wide open. That's good news. Go home and tell your friends, tell your neighbors, there's a seat for you. I got good news. Seat opened up. You can come. We grew from 300 to over 500 a Sunday on average the last few months. One of the great things that we do online that I love is we're just about 100 likes away from 4,000 likes on Facebook. And Silas does our Facebook for us, and he does a fabulous job. And so let me just explain why I'm excited about that number, not just because it's so high, but on last week, what that means is that we had a reach of 18,400. Okay. And if you don't know what that means 18,400 people, when they went on Facebook, saw something about the cross. And I was, a while back earlier this year, I was looking at those numbers. I was thinking, man, maybe we're just getting some random likes from random states, and those shouldn't really factor in because they're not going to be a part of it, and who cares? But as I was looking at who our fans are, that's who like the page, 97 to 98% are local, right? So if you think about our communities, about 17,500 of those 18,400 are people that are seeing something about the cross every single week. Our app has over 1,250 downloads. Now we're getting about 100 a month. And what that means is in this month already, we've had over 9,000 impressions on our app, which means over 300 hits a day is what our app is getting. That's why we are excited about those things. We've grown, this is one of my favorites this year, we've grown our staff at the beginning of the year to have nine people on staff, including four full-time. Excited to see what we can do with a staff that actually matches the size of the congregation. That's going to be fun. We welcomed more than 150 new members to the Cross this year. That's awesome. We locked arms with people that say, we want to do this mission and vision of reaching the lost with you, whatever it takes. We've given back this year, outside of our regular budget, over $100,000 into the community as we really supported hand in hand. And Lake Cares is a big support of ours, too. And one of the great things, there's many great things that have happened with that money, but one of the great things that happened as a result of the money that we gave away through Hand in Hand is we last month opened up our second recovery house for men in Eustis. And in just a few months, when that's full, we're going to have 20 guys going through the program all at one time. I'm really excited about that. Last month, we took a step in growing up as a church. We had our first capital campaign, and we raised over $900,000 in pledges towards Plant and Build, where we said we're going to plant a new church in the next few years with that money. We're going to give $150,000 more to the community, and whatever's left, we're going to take to grow our church into whatever our next space might be. And today, what's really cool is today we're going to celebrate, in just a few moments, we're going to celebrate our 40th baptism of the year. And we believe this is actually our 100th baptism at the Cross today. So you get a free shirt for being our 100th baptism. Yeah, I'm just throwing that out there right now. Accounting is going to be very frustrated with me, but we're going to take a leap of faith on that. That's 100 people that have come to meet Jesus at the Cross in just a little over 4 years. And that's only the ones that have been baptized. We believe there's many, many more. And that's why we exist. Altogether, I would have to tell you that the state of the Cross is strong, and we are looking forward, and looking ahead with excitement. I believe one of the great things is that we do, as much as I'm preaching about different generations today, I believe that we're reaching all generations here. In our survey that we did, our church-wide survey we did a month ago, we had many results. We're still female-heavy here at the church, and I don't mean heavy females. Just to make sure you heard me right there. We've got a lot more women that come than men. It's actually almost 2-1. And so if you ask, why do you spend so much time focusing on the millennials? Why do you spend so much time focusing on the men? Because those are the most lost. And how many of us, as wives or spouses or significant others, how many of you would love to have your husband or your significant other with you here at church? That's a big deal. And so we're going to be spending a lot of energy and attention on that. But we've got a lot of different generations here, and I love seeing that here at the church. And so I believe that our staff is set up well. We've made some huge changes this year growing into this new space. The kids were able to move into another brand new space, and they've been doing a lot of things to kind of make it more secure and safe. And actually, we've got a letter that we're going to give out to all the parents next week of all the changes that we've made last year and what we're looking forward to this year of how your children's experience can be even greater at the Cross. And I believe that as they've had to reinvent themselves over this past year, I believe that Allison and Sarah are doing an incredible job and starting to hit their stride now. And we're always looking for more volunteers in that area. But our kids' ministry from nursery to fifth grade, especially on Sunday mornings, is looking really strong. I think our student ministries, he's not here today, so I can say it. Don't tell him I said this because they get a big head. I think our student ministries is actually in great hands with Mark Crossman. Please don't tell him that. You know how big this guy's head is, right? We cannot let that out. He's on vacation today, much needed and much earned. But this was the one area in 2015 as we looked at a year ago today, what is the one area that we really need to put some attention on this past year that's kind of lagging behind the rest of the church? And it was in our student ministries. And I'm excited to say that Mark's doing an awesome job. He's getting about 30 to 35 youth coming on a Wednesday night now. And we believe that with all of his attention being focused, or most of his attention at least being focused on student ministries into the next year, we believe that he's going to do great and awesome things with that ministry. Excited for our LT ministries here. Got a new leader, Jacob Bauman, in charge. And so one of the things that we've realized at the Cross is though we've got a lot of teams going, our lack of support for captains is also happened. And we need to be training our captains. captains better so that they're not only great captains leading their teams, but also leading great lives out in the communities and being a model and example. And so really excited to work with Jacob hand in hand to do that and make sure our L-Team experience is going even better here at the Cross. One of our main focal points this year with L-Teams and with kind of spiritual growth is we've got a lot of new Christians and people that are new to the faith. And so we want to give you more practical, tangible next steps for, hey, if you want to grow in your faith, here's what you can do. And so we've got a whole, we're calling it discovery track that we're going to be laying out. And you're going to hear me talk a little bit more about that next week. So really pumped about that. Where we scored lowest on the church-wide survey was in our music and worship. And we take that with a grain of salt because it was only a few weeks after our worship leader and his wife felt called by God to go elsewhere, and we were in a time of transition. But I believe that with Chris Burns at the helm, at least on an interim basis for several months, we're going to see great strides there as well. So I'm pretty excited about that. Our community involvement, you guys rated on the survey, continues to be one of the highlights of our church, and we're excited. And I'm pumped to tell you about some of the things we're going to do with the community next year, next week. And financially, we're in awesome shape. Through your generosity, we were able to move into and through the generosity also of our network that we're a part of, we were able to move into a new space this year, make a lot of staff changes and upgrade in a lot of areas where we needed it. And actually, we go by a fiscal year, so July to June. We are ahead of budget this year at this point, which is always a good thing. That's why we took the offering before I told you that, right? No, just kidding. But we are ahead of budget, and we're still giving 10% of our money back, offerings back to mission work and community partners. And next year, we're even going to give a whole lot more, as I said earlier, through that plant and build funds that we collected. So I believe, quite honestly, that the state of our church is very strong. I love being your pastor, and I'm really excited about digging in and locking arms with you in ministry. And you know me, I'm excited about running like crazy in 2016. We got some work to do. We're only here for a finite period of time, a fraction of time. And so we're going to run hard. We're going to make some mistakes as we go. That's part of what happens when you run hard and when you run fast. But we're going to have grace, and we're going to have forgiveness for one another. We're going to say some things. We're going to offend some people. We're going to burn some people at times through what we do or what we say. That's church. We're going to have forgiveness for one another, and we're going to continue to run really hard and really fast so that by all possible means, we're doing everything possible that we can do that we might save some. We're going to do whatever it takes in 2016. We're going to call it the whatever it takes year. That's going to scare some of you. But for some of you, you're going to get excited about that and say, I want to live with meaning and purpose, and I want to lock arms with those that are doing whatever it takes. We're going to change this community. This city is going to be changed next year even more than it was this year. This county is going to feel the ripple effects of a congregation living for Jesus Christ. And when we think of Paul, but even more so when we think of Jesus Christ, you talk about a man that gave everything he had and that did whatever it took. That's our Savior. He's not only our model and our example, he is our Savior, and he's the reason we have hope and joy. He's the reason that we meet here at this church. And when one person comes, when one person is baptized, when one person calls upon Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we rejoice. Heaven rejoices. The angels rejoice. And that's what we're here to do, is to reach as many ones as we can. So the Cross Mount Dora, you're going to hear some more specifics next week of what we're going to be doing. But do I have a church next year? Do I got a church? Are you with me? Are you going to do whatever it takes to reach people for Jesus? By the grace of God, we're going to do some awesome things next year. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are, for what you've done, that you gave everything that you had for us. And so, Lord, we want to model that and live that out next year. And so, God, will you give us strength? Will you give us courage? Will you give us boldness? Will you give us creativity? Will you give us accessibility to people that we don't have at this point? Lord, will you give us intentionality in what we do? Will you move us along in our own spiritual journeys so that we can be collectively the strongest group and the strongest church that we can be? Lord Jesus, be with all those today who are hurting, especially as we think of Christmas. Christmas for many is a joyous occasion, but for some it's a lonely time or a time to ponder of things that were lost or things that aren't the same. And so, God, I just pray that you would comfort them and give them encouragement this morning. For all those who are Lord Jesus, battling cancer and fighting illness and struggling with disease, and Lord, anyone who's struggling with depression or shame or guilt or sadness in any way, Jesus, will you be their rock? Will you be their comfort this morning? God, we pray for all of our community leaders and those that are pastors, and we pray for the other churches in our area and that are a part of our network that share the same mission, Lord Jesus. God, we pray that you would strengthen them. For Lord, we don't want to run by ourselves. We want to run together with others. We want to lock arms in ministry with those that are passionate about reaching the most people for you, Jesus. God, protect those who are fighting and to bring peace, your peace, into this world. Protect them, Lord, and give them safety. Those that are overseas, but also those that are serving each and every day in our country, Lord Jesus, that risk their lives for many of the freedoms that we so often take for granted. And we thank you, God, for the freedom that we do take for granted far too often, the freedom that we have in you to be your people. Jesus, thank you for what you've done. It's all about you, Jesus. And we pray the prayer that you taught us when you said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."